Following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio, the best day of the week for me because I get to sit across from the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. How you doing, Elisa?
Hey, Carl. You know, you're going to have to let me introduce you sometime. I need to work on my introductions.
Okay. Well, what would you say about me then?
Well, this week I would say that tomorrow is your birthday.
That's right.
And you're going to be...
I'm going to be 53.
Wow.
5'3", and I'm quite proud of it. I know a lot of people tend to play down their birthday, but... right around the the 10th month of the year, I start telling people I'm already 53.
And why is that?
Because I'm proud that I'm 53. I think that, first of all, I'm not tethered by the idea that I'm 53. Like, it means that I can't do something that I couldn't, that I could do before.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, I think I'm in greater health, greater shape, much wiser, than I was when I was in my 20s.
Well, that's good.
No, I'm quite proud about the fact of being in 53.
That's a healthy way to look at it.
I think so. And the truth is, I mean, my physique, I look better now than I did when I was in my 20s. When I was 20, in my 20s, I was skinny and abusing my body, and, you know, and it showed.
And then you got heavy.
I did get heavy, yes. I was in a very, very unhappy relationship for several years, and I did like many people do. I ate to find my peace, but... those days are over now because I am in a wonderful relationship now, and I'm very, very happy. The greatest gift I could get for my birthday is sitting across from you.
Thank you. So how about those praying mantis?
I know. One of our children came home to visit. This morning I was out watering plants, and I called Elisa, and I said, come look. And because we thought all the praying mantis, well, at least I thought they all died off because we had so much rain.
But on the spearmint plant, I had planted a big piece of spearmint, and it, of course, as we've talked about on the gardening show, spearmint or any type of mint grows wild, and this plant has gotten so big. And lo and behold, on one of the leaves was a little praying mantis, and he's not little anymore.
I know. He was like at least an inch long already, and when they were babies, they were like just a couple millimeters long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's obviously eating.
Gosh, just think, we've had like two or three pods out there. I wonder how many praying mantis we're going to have.
I know.
Out there.
You know, that's funny because we put one pod out and it hatched. And then we bought another pod.
It hatched in the garage.
Right. The one hatched in the garage. Then we put another pod out. And then I found the pod I originally bought in the refrigerator and put it out. So we put three pods out. Think about this. If, in fact, there are 200 or so praying mantis and let's say 50% of them live. We're going to have 150 of those gigantic, scary-looking creatures all over the backyard.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
We'll give them as gifts.
Uh-huh.
Right? Whenever if you invite us someplace, just be prepared next year. You're going to get a praying mantis as a gift. There you go.
Well, I harvested my first stevia leaves.
Have you – now, what stage are they in? Have you turned them into sweetener yet? Or?
Well, I made a mistake because you're supposed to dry them in the sun for 12 hours. And I thought they were dry enough, but they weren't. And I started to crush them before they were actually dry enough. So I'm letting them finish drying. Then I have to put them in the refrigerator with a cup of, 1 cup of warm water per 1/4 cup of stevia leaves. Okay. You have to kind of crush them. So I'm going to do that this afternoon. And then tomorrow I'll see if the liquid stevia tastes as good as the stevia that we get from the grocery store.
Because technically it's stevia extract at that point in time.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. Very, very
cool. If it works, I'll blog the recipe.
Speaking of blogging, a friend of ours blogged something the other day about the GMO PLU codes.
Oh, yeah. She did. Caroline.
Caroline Scott. Caroline and Bob Scott, they run the Louisville Athletic Club gym, one of the gyms that you and I belong to and we go to. And interestingly enough, a lot of people are under the impression that you can identify – GMO food.
At the supermarket.
Yeah, but you can't, because while they did create the GMO designate for the PLU code, which I believe is a 9 or an 8. I'm trying to think.
Organically grown fruit has a 5 numeral PLU prefaced by the number 9.
9, right. And yeah. And GMO has a 5 digit PLU prefaced by the number 8.
8, correct.
But you will never find anything with the number 8 PLU code on it, because Monsanto lobbied the government when GMO first started to become prevalent, and said there's no need for people to know that they're eating GMO. They're just going to – it's going to just cause mass hysteria unnecessarily. So the government allowed the grocery industry not to have to label GMO as GMO.
Does Monsanto run the world?
Yes. No.
I don't mean to laugh, but it just sounds like everything they want to do, they get to do.
They do. That's why those of you out there need to Google Millions Against Monsanto, and you need to join this website, because they are quite aware of the sinister things that Monsanto is up to, like reintroducing Agent Orange.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Well, you know, we've talked about this before. The Ready Roundup corn is causing superweeds.
Uh-huh.
And as a result of causing superweeds, they have to find a new way to kill these weeds. So now Monsanto is going to make Agent Orange Roundup ready corn. So instead of Ready Roundup corn being immune to the Ready Roundup pesticides and herbicide, they're going to make it immune to Agent Orange, which causes cancers and Hodgkin's disease in humans.
In the troops from Vietnam,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. Because Agent Orange will kill the super weeds.
So have they gotten approval to do this?
From what I understand, they're on the already – there's no approval needed, because Agent Orange is apparently a herbicide, pesticide that's usable. So the government doesn't have to say anything about it, I guess.
So they're going to use that now, and then people are going to eat the food?
Yeah, laden with Agent Orange. If you buy produce from large factory farms and major producers, just be prepared to be exposed to Agent Orange.
That's
another reason why you got to find yourself a local farmer or start growing your own stuff. I'm telling you, people, you know, I'm not playing Chicken Little here. I mean, these companies don't care. If they poison you, they're already poisoning us.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's frustrating. I really get frustrated, because it's not only scary, it's absurd that they're doing this to the American public.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. So what else are we talking about right now, Elisa?
So you're finished with the PLU codes?
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there, I think. Was there anything else we should cover with it?
No. Yeah. Okay, how about healthy fast food that's not so healthy?
First of all, isn't healthy and fast foods, you know, they shouldn't even be
in the
same sentence.
They shouldn't be in the same sentence, that's
right,
true.
Right. So what are they saying are healthy fast foods?
Well, finally, somebody has kind of started to do something. The Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine has just recently tested some of the nutritional content of some fast food items.
Right.
And so they're finally getting it that these fast food items are not good for you. They found the worst offenders to be Wendy's Baja Salad with almost twice the recommended amount of sodium, and what we talked about several months back, the McDonald's oatmeal. It has more calories than a hamburger and more sugar than a candy bar.
And that's what we said on the show.
Yeah.
I wonder if they listened to the show.
Maybe they did.
You know, they get these ideas. You know, it could be that they listen to these niche shows to get these ideas. They may have just been repeating what you said on the show. How do you like that?
Yeah. KFC's grilled chicken, which is marketed to the public as a good-for-you item.
Yeah, because it's healthy. It's not breaded. It's not deep-fried. It's grilled.
It's better for you,
right,
quote,
right,
unquote.
Right.
Well, it contains a carcinogen called PHIP, which has been shown to increase the risk of breast cancers and other cancers, I think prostate cancer and some other cancers as well.
Now, a lot of times these carcinogens arise as a result of cooking these foods. I remember, like, McDonald's had to put labels in California. When you buy French fries in California from McDonald's, it states that they have a known carcinogen in them, because when you deep fry potatoes in that oil that they use, there's like a chemical reaction that ends up causing something that is a known carcinogen in California.
So how come they're able to sell that then?
Because people will buy it. let's face it, we're talking about a country that still smokes cigarettes.
That's true.
You think they're going to not buy a French fry because it potentially causes cancer?
Yes. Also, the Subway Fresh Fit 6-inch turkey breast sub, which says that it has low-fat mayo and low-fat cheese on it. It has 24 grams of fat. It has the processed meat in it, which is increased to cancer.
Well,
I mean, it is linked to increased cancer risk.
Yeah, but you know what? The fat, I'm not afraid of.
I know, but I'm just telling you what the nutritionist
saying.
Is saying
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Sonic strawberry smoothie says it contains more sugar than 5 Twinkies.
Wow. And quite frankly, I'd probably rather eat 5 Twinkies than drink that thing.
That's amazing.
I've eaten at Sonic like years ago once. I think I got the foot-long chili dog.
Oh, I've never eaten at Sonic.
I regretted eating that chili dog for days.
Can you believe I've never eaten there?
Yes, I do believe it. I can believe it because you never eat at any fast food restaurant.
I don't eat fast food.
No.
And I haven't since I was probably a child.
Well, you have to remember, I was fat at one time.
That's true.
And I didn't get that way by eating the way I do now. I got that by eating the way most of America eats.
Speaking about eating, how about that forks over knives?
Well, you know what? I want to talk about that.
I know.
But we have to take a quick commercial break.
That's interesting.
Yes. And it's very, very interesting because people are already forking over their money for forks over knives. So you're going to hear where we stand on this movie in just a second.
Stay tuned.
Fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahlerLer.com. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon been used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
You and I, we may look the same, but we are very far apart. There's bullet holes where my compassion used to be, and there is violence in my heart. It's a fire you can send us.
This could be the first generation of children in the United States that lives less than its parents.
I got two pills I take for my diabetes, then I got one for cholesterol, high blood pressure, and then I take Byetta, which is an injectable.
I'm getting really shaky, and I'm sick, and I'm fatigued, and that's when they diagnosed me with hypertension and diabetes.
Obesity, diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure cost this country more than $120 billion each year.
People are saying, you're crazy. You're a cancer patient. You should be resting. Doctors told me this.
When I had the second heart attack, the doctor said, I should prepare for death.
Heart disease is an absolutely toothless paper tiger that need never, ever exist.
People who were raised in Japan, the Philippines, Korea, China, never had heart disease, prostate cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis.
This is the atlas of cancer mortality in China.
Virtually the Western diet was non-existent. They had no animal products. They had no dairy, no meat.
We learned that we could turn on and turn off cancer growth just by adjusting the level of intake of that protein.
I knew at that point what caused most diseases.
Our national authorities are simply excluding this concept in order to protect the status quo.
With the Western diet, there are going to be 500,000 people in this country this year who will have to have the front half of their body divided, their heart exposed. Some people would call that extreme.
I know of nothing else in medicine that can come close to what a plant-based diet can do.
If you go through life thinking that what happens to you from a health perspective is based on your genes, you're a helpless victim.
I've reversed the diabetes. The diabetes is not coming back.
I just can't understand what it's done to change my life.
Diet is so much more important than anybody ever thought.
To me, the answer is so simple, it's criminal. And it's just people starting to take responsibility for their health and starting to eat more plant-based foods. It's that simple.
That's the official trailer for the new movie, Forks Over Knives. And I can't tell you how frustrated I am about this new movie.
I don't think it's new. I think it's been out for a while.
Well, how long has it been out, you think?
Well, I think for a couple months. The Dr. Oz episode that we watched yesterday that is about the movie was from April.
Okay. This is an old movie. And I can't tell you how flippin' upset I am about this movie. I mean, first of all, this movie is nothing more than a Trojan horse for the vegan diet. That's all this is. This is just the vegan diet over again. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more. No eggs, no dairy, no flesh, not even fish. Beans, okay. Grains, okay.
But the guy even said no olive oil.
Yeah, no olive oil. Olive oil is processed.
Too processed.
But yet you pointed out this morning that fettuccine was processed.
It was whole wheat fettuccine that they had for dinner.
And how? So what is that? What tree does that grow? I forget. Which tree does the fettuccine grow from? Is that different from the linguine tree?
There was they gave a perfect day's worth of meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This was on the Dr. Oz show. There was no protein, zero protein.
And they said, no, broccoli has protein.
Oh, 30%. He said that broccoli was 30% protein.
Get your protein from beans and quinoa. Now, look, I'm not opposed to eating quinoa, and I'm not opposed to eating broccoli, but this notion that animal protein and fat, they don't want any fat in your diet.
They said it turns on cancer.
Right. And here's what they're talking about when they say turns on cancer. This is always what they talk about. They're talking about IGF-1, mm-hmm. insulin-like growth factor 1, which has been implicated in cancers since it was discovered. And the reason for that is this. IGF-1 makes all cells grow faster and stronger. It makes good cells grow faster and stronger, and it makes bad cells grow faster and stronger. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So IGF-1 is considered corollary, not causative, to cancer. And you don't have to be a doctor to understand this. IGF-1 is the highest when we're little kids, when our bodies are growing from 18 pounds to 180 pounds. Our bodies are just loaded with IGF-1. Why aren't we getting cancers then if IGF-1 is the reason for cancer?
So why are they saying that this, the if you have a an animal protein diet-based diet, that you get cancer more readily?
Okay, because these people, they're missing the boat. They're saying that because they then extrapolate that the people in Asia don't eat as much animal protein as we do, which, by the way, we're going to have an authority on next half of the next segment, Dr. Peter Rouse, who's lived all over Asia and is very aware of this. This movie is nothing more than a video version of the China study, which implicated protein in cancer by pointing out that people in China don't get cancer as readily as people in the United States. Go ahead.
I do. They did have tofu in the salad that they had at lunchtime.
Yeah, okay. So they had a little bit of protein, but
right.
That's still not – okay. The bottom line is this. They're saying cancer is caused by animal protein because Chinese people don't eat a lot of animal protein and they don't get cancer. They fail to recognize – as doctors, they totally turn a blind eye to polymorphisms that are unique about the Chinese population. And the fact that the Chinese people eat an ancestral diet, they've been eating the same diet for a trillion years, which is what we promote on this show. Eat ancestrally. Find out how your ancestors ate and eat the way they did. But what these guys do is really derelict, in my opinion, of science. What they do is they take people off of crap diets where they're eating, you know, pasta, cereals and sugars and processed foods. Yeah.
On the Dr. Oz show, they had 30 women that were trying this, and he had them all stand up, and then they all sat down according to how many days they lasted on the diet. And one of the women said that she broke the diet because she just had to have some jelly beans.
Jelly beans.
Jelly beans.
Right. So these people are eating basically the stuff that we rail against on this show. So, sure, when you take somebody off of crap, if you fed them shredded cardboard, they're going to feel better.
And all of their markers are going to go down.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, did you see the doctors that are promoting this?
I did.
They're frail looking. They're pasty looking. They're weak looking.
And they're both in their 70s, right?
Yes, they're both in their 70s. They look like they each look like they're 170. The one guy is hunched over. You can tell that he has such severe osteoporosis that he has a curvature of the spine, and his head is facing down into his chest. He could barely talk. These guys are promoting the diet basically that they believe is good because that's the way they eat. They're both frail looking. They're both weak looking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to look like that when I'm 70. Kill me now.
I agree.
Oh, you're going to kill me?
But you're only 53.
That's right. Okay. So let's cover some other topics about this movie here. The movie also makes the assumption that all fat is bad. Avoid fat at all costs.
Well, the guy was talking about what type of dressing to use on his salad, and he said he would use only lemon juice or balsamic vinegar and no olive oil with that.
Because olive oil is processed.
It's processed and it's bad for you.
Yes, it's bad. So fat is bad for you. So now I predict something else. People who follow this particular diet will start to develop depression, because anytime you start to restrict the body of fat, you start to develop depression because the brain depends on fat. I mean, it's ridiculous.
They
no eggs, no fish, not even fish.
Not even any fish. They did have some nuts like pistachios and almonds and things like that, so they are going to get some healthy fats from that.
Yes, but they're telling people to avoid animal protein and fat. And this is nothing more than a vegan diet. That's all this is.
And that's crazy.
And you know what? They don't want to call it a vegan diet because they know that there's been a lot of people who have tried the vegan diet for a while, and then abandoned it because they started to get sick. Now, there are some people that can survive on the vegan diet because they do it very specifically, like Mike Mahler. Mike Mahler probably uses such a broad variety of protein sources that he's getting all the amino acids he needs. But the average person isn't working as hard as Mike Mahler and intelligently as Mike to make sure that he has this this rainbow of potential protein sources. Most of them are sticking to a couple different things, and that's it. And they become depleted of nutrients. They become depleted of vitamins, and they have to jump off the diet because they get sick.
What was it that you said? You said something last night. Was it the nutritional yeast that they were talking about to replace cheese? Have you had that?
I don't know about nutritional yeast. I love brewer's yeast. It's been a while since I mean, I used to eat brewer's yeast out of the jar. It tastes like peanuts to me. I mean, and it's got a really good taste. But yeast is good. I got no, you know, here's the difference between me and them. I'm not saying don't eat what they're telling you to eat. I'm saying a lot of the stuff they're saying that you can eat, you should eat. Because of the phytonutrients, because of the various things that those foods do for you. But I'm saying do not exclude animal protein. Mm-hmm. It's stupid. It doesn't make sense. These guys are looking at epidemiology. We've already talked on this show how wrong it is to base everything on epidemiology. Epidemiology gets it wrong all the time. Years later, epidemiologists go, oh, you know, we've changed our mind. Now it's this. No, 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 no. You don't have to do that. Just look back in history. If cancer and heart disease were caused by animal proteins and animal fats, then our great, great, great grandparents would have all had cancer and heart disease because they fried their bacon and lard. They ate eggs every day. They drank whole milk. They did all the things that these doctors are saying don't do. And they didn't develop heart disease. And that's even proved by Dr. Paul Dudley White, who I've talked about his position paper on this show 1,000 times, who said, and he's the guy who started the American Heart Association. And he's the one who said, abandon sugar and abandon hydrogenated oils to stop heart disease. He knew then, without realizing it, that it was diabetes that causes heart disease. And what do you get diabetes from?
Too much sugar.
Too much sugar, too much starches, too much of that high glycemic index carbohydrates. When that guy started the entry of that show, of the trailer, he goes, I've got these diabetes medications. He didn't get diabetes from eating protein and fat.
He looked like he was about 100 pounds overweight.
Yeah, I mean, he got diabetes from eating pizzas and bread and cereals and ice cream and all the stuff that no one should be eating, no matter what diet you're on.
Well, one thing that they said in the show was to eat freeze-dried strawberries, that it has 10 times the antioxidants than regular strawberries.
And I thought about that, and I know what they're talking about now.
What is it?
They're going by weight.
Oh.
Let's say you have a slice of it. Let's just say you have a slice of a strawberry.
Well, that's misleading.
Right. And let's say this strawberry weighs 2 grams, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say the total antioxidant value, let's just give it a number, is 50.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you dry that strawberry out, and it, instead of wearing 2 grams, now it weighs 1 gram. The total antioxidant value is 100. You just doubled the antioxidant value by removing the water. So it's a lie. They even have to lie to convince people to eat their way. And I thought about that last night before I went to bed. I said, how could freeze drying something stimulate a greater degree of antioxidants? And I thought, oh, they're going by weight.
That's very misleading. And then Dr. Oz.
Are you impressed with how smart I am?
I am. Then Dr. Oz was talking about, oh yes, you know, he was agreeing with them about the fat. And then in the next segment, he was onto a whole totally different subject, and he was talking about eating peanut butter because it's a healthy fat,
right,
as a snack.
And let's face it, we can't slight the Wizard of Oz because he has to kowtow to everything. He has to be like a flag waving in the wind on his show. He has to jump on any bandwagon that comes along. He was telling them, I commend you, this is the way I tell my patients to eat. And then later, he's telling the people to eat these types of fats. And also, he was telling people that popcorn is a suitable...
Was it the best snack?
Popcorn.
Popcorn.
Which has 20 grams of starches that turn into sugar immediately in the body per 40 grams of popcorn. So that's what makes people fat. Corn. Do I need to remind you? What do they feed cows for the last 3 weeks of their lives so that they can gain 3 pounds a day?
Fatten them up with corn.
3 pounds a day, exclusively corn. You want to get fat? Eat plenty of corn. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We have to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to have Dr. Peter Rouse on the show. And he has an opinion about this as well. You're listening to Casual Friday on Super Humor Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Pump it. Pump it.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now. Muscle-building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Uh-oh. You know what this is. We're going to give you 5 seconds to put your drink down and report to the day.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My next guest is Dr. Peter Rouse. And Dr. Peter Rouse, if you can hear me right now, could you lower your microphone just a tiny bit?
Okay. Is that any better?
Yeah, much better, much better. Thank you very much. Okay. So anyway, Peter, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to my rant a couple minutes ago about this new movie, Forks Over Knives. It's not new, and I apologize. I keep saying that. It's no, let's put it this way. It's new to me. I live under a rock. So have you seen the movie?
No, it was actually new to me, too. Actually, before we start, happy birthday for tomorrow there, too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hi, Dr. Rouse.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Finally managed to actually catch up and talk to you. We've only been talking on email, so it's good to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you as well.
Okay, regards to the movie, I actually haven't seen, until you emailed me, I had no idea it was out there.
Well, it's basically a video version of the China study. That's what it is.
Yeah, I actually looked at a preview and I did some research on it last night just to kind of get prepared for today's show, to kind of give you a bit of a rant as well. And besides that, I wouldn't actually give them my money to promote it for them. I wouldn't want to, you know, provide them any kind of profit for propagating this information.
I'm with you. That's why I titled this segment of the show Fork Over Your Money for Forks Over Knives, because, you know, fork over your money typically implies you're being robbed.
Totally. I mean, the whole China study is, the book, I should say, is fraudulent anyway. If you look at the data that he based the book on, he manipulated and adjusted data to suit his needs. So it,
really?
I challenge anybody to actually read the true study and compare it to the book.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you – I actually blogged on this, and I actually linked a couple of people who have actually analyzed it. I was actually going to break it down, and then I did some research, and I found like three or four people who had actually broken it down pretty well. So I just linked to their articles, and the data is manipulated for starters. I mean, and then the data is not even that accurate, but even then you're watering down even further and further. So,
well, let me ask you a question. You've lived in Asia, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, have you lived in China?
Yeah.
Okay. I know you lived several places in Asia. Do Asian people eat animal protein?
They eat every part of the animal.
They eat
everything you can imagine.
Yeah, I've always thought. I mean, they eat dog. Isn't dog animal protein?
They eat cats.
There you go. Cats taste like chicken. There you go.
How do you know that?
Oh, I'm just joking. I don't know that. Everything tastes like chicken eventually, doesn't it?
I think I may have eaten dog without knowing it, but I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. But okay. Yeah. So this is a fallacy. China, they eat a lot of animal protein.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the crazy thing is that data was really manipulated and adjusted to suit their needs. Living in Asia, especially more, if you go back to looking at more traditional diet, very heavily animal-based, heavily animal-based. It was probably, if you're looking at traditional paleo diet, this was probably closer to the traditional paleo diet as you could get. But in recent years, particularly in the past probably 20 years, you've seen a change in their dietary habits. And they're saying that, you know, they don't get coronary heart disease and cancer. BS.
Right.
Do you know what country has the highest cancer rates in the world?
No, where?
Japan.
Really?
Japan. Over the US. US is number two.
Really?
That's
I didn't know
interesting.
That. And they eat a very similar diet as the Chinese.
Well, they mentioned Japan in the trailer.
Yeah.
They mentioned Japan in the trailer.
So how are these guys getting away with this? First of all, these two doctors that wrote this document were in their 70s. I remember my dad in his 70s. My father was much more robust in his 70s, even with all the medication they had him on. These two guys, the one guy, he's hunched over. His chin is in his chest. He looks like he's got osteoporosis so bad that his spine is starting to curve the wrong way. The other guy is so frail. You can see when he walks, he kind of shuffles a little bit. None of them have any muscle. They all look like they left their hangers in their shirts. It's like they're promoting a diet, in my humble opinion, that is going to promote osteopenia, muscle wasting.
They're probably on a whole long list of drugs as well. And that's something they're probably not going to mention either.
Right.
But, you know, the simple thing to look at is, I mean, this is really the most dumbest argument, but where they get their B12 from.
Oh, and as a matter of fact, Dr. Oz said that you should take B12 vitamin supplements because you obviously have no red meat. He said, so you can get your B12 from vitamins, he said. So in other words, don't get it from, right.
That's processed, but they won't eat olive oil because it's processed.
Yeah.
I heard that.
This diet, Peter, is a Trojan horse of the vegan diet. They didn't want to come out and say, if you eat vegan, you'll be healthy because everybody who's done vegan, who abandons it after 5 or 10 years, except the small percentage of people who eat vegan with a very meticulous approach to making sure they get all their protein sources the way Mike Mahler does. Most vegans don't do that. The majority of vegans abandon the vegan diet because they know it doesn't work. They get sick, they get weak, they get anemic. But these guys couldn't come out and say, hey, eat vegan, because people go, try that. Doesn't work. So instead of saying eat vegan, they called it this, forks over knives. It's a vegan diet. No egg, no fish, no chicken, no turkey, no beef, no milk, no cheese, no fat.
Well, you know, with Mike, most people got to remember, he doesn't eat the vegan diet because it's healthy. He does it for other reasons. And he does a lot of supplementation to make sure that he's getting what he needs. So,
bingo.
You know, the average person's not even going to get close to what Mike's doing. He's a perfectionist when it comes to eating
exactly.
his diet.
Exactly. You want to know what? You put a million vegans in a room, and you're going to find one guy in that million like Mike Mahler that's working that hard to make sure, because you said it, Mike doesn't want to eat animals because he has a spiritual connection and he doesn't want to eat animals. So he works very hard to avoid eating animals. Most people eat vegan. They don't think about what they're eating. They think they can eat salads all day long and they're going to survive. They think they're bunny rabbits.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you what my opinion is, and I'm going to research this a little bit further, why they're promoting this. And I think it's part of, you know, this is getting into the conspiracy thing, but I think it's part of their slow kill. Guess what? Everybody goes on this diet, they're going to have to live off medication for the rest of their life. And it's part of their whole population control. You know, they've come out and said this, that they need to reduce the world's population.
Yes.
This could be a weapon to reduce the world's population. You know, this is a slow kill. They're going to make a lot of money in the process. They're talking about, in the trailer, they talked about the government's propaganda about eating animal meat. Hello, corn is heavily subsidized by the government, by us, the taxpayers. How much subsidy do farmers growing, you know, animals get? None.
Right, but corn and grain, right, corn and grain and soy, they get subsidies constantly.
Huge. I mean, they can't grow corn at a profit. They have to rely on our taxpayers' money to get the profit. They grow it at a loss.
Right.
So they're talking, the movie just doesn't even make sense. Obviously, they either haven't done their research or they just blatantly lie.
Right, right. Yeah. I personally think that it's what you said. They have an agenda to push, whether it's conspiracy-based or whether it's they decided, hey, you know, because I'll tell you my opinion of this. I think that these heart doctors and these cancer doctors, when they take people off of crap food, the people miraculously get better. Okay? So what do they put them on? They put them on a vegetarian diet because they're under the impression that meat and fat is causing this problem. But what they don't realize is it's not the elimination of the meat and fat. It's the elimination of the ice cream, the popcorn, the jelly beans. It's
all the chemicals.
And the chemicals, yes. And the chemicals in the processed foods. It's the elimination of those things alone that allow the body to thrive again. But the body will not thrive for very long like that. It's going to need those animal proteins. But right now the body's in the recovery mode. And they go, wow, look at this. When you take people off of whatever they're eating and put them on a vegan diet, they get better. Well, you know what? If you took those same people off of a crap diet and put them on the Gary Taubes diet, they would also get healthier and their cholesterol would stabilize and their blood sugar would stabilize and their cancers would go away and their heart disease would go away.
Well, the funny thing, you're talking about cancers. The primary fuel source for cancer, what makes it accelerate in growth, is glucose. And they're right. Putting these people on high glucose diets.
That's right. That's right.
They use a glucose isotope to detect tumors. Because
right.
The tumors are really suck up glucose.
Well,
they're feeding the cancer.
Listen to this analogy I came up with this morning when Elisa and I were talking. In this movie, they say eating animal protein and fat switches on cancer. And you and I both know what they're talking about. They're talking about IGF-1.
Yeah.
Okay. IGF-1 is corollary, not causative of cancer. If IGF-1 was causative, we would develop cancer from the time we're born to the time we're 18 when our body is raging with IGF-1 and going through the greatest growth spurts.
Well, there's actually no data to back that up as far as being causative. Yes, if you have cancer, right. Elevated IGF-1 will increase cellular regeneration of the cancer, you know, cells themselves. So yes, it's going to increase your rate of, you know, growth of the cancer, but nowhere near is it caused.
Right.
And the thing is, most people who get cancer are unhealthy and have fairly low IGF-1 because they have a fairly low HGH production anyway as well.
Cancer, and I'm going to say, and I don't care, I'll say this to an oncologist and I will argue this forever. Cancer is a result of disruption of the apoptotic landscape of the body and nothing more, nothing less. And the number one thing that disrupts apoptosis is cellular inflammation. So trying to say that IGF-1 is responsible for causing cancer, I could say the same thing about oxygen. I could say, well, you know, 90% of the cancers thrive in an oxygenated environment. So if we really want to cure cancer, we have to smother people because let's just cut off all the oxygen. No, you wouldn't do that. IGF-1 makes healthy cells repair and proliferate as well as bad cells, as you pointed out. Why would you want to choke it off to sacrifice the healthy cells as well?
Well, the funny thing is I've worked with cancer patients and I've yet to see anybody who has cancer with elevated IGF-1. That's all I can say is that, you know, it doesn't make sense because when we test these people, there's no elevation of IGF-1. In actual fact, we see a depression. The whole endocrine system's affected anyway. So how can it be causative if they already have low IGF-1? I mean, maybe it's actually, maybe low IGF-1 causes cancer, not elevated IGF-1.
Right.
You know, if you're looking at the data that way, and we know that's not that true, but, you know, that's the way they want to look at the data. They just pick and choose the way they look at the data to match the agenda.
Well, Kevin Johnson, do you have something?
No, I was just going to say Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin Johnson posted a question asking about what portion of the study was manipulated, in your opinion. He's just curious. Did they manipulate the some of the endpoints?
No, they manipulated the entire thing. I'll give you one thing in the diet that they actually manipulated, but if you go through it, it was everything. They looked at the mortality rates with protein intake in the diet, right?
Right.
Animal proteins. If you have a look at the data, it doesn't correlate to their data. Just look at the association of mortality with cancers from protein.
Oh, so in other words, what you're saying is the rate of mortality in people eating animal protein, it didn't show that there was a greater degree of mortalities in animal protein eaters, but they said it was anyway.
Yes.
How can they get away?
Have a look at it. Read it.
How can they get away with that?
People don't read the study.
You're right. Most people don't read the studies. You're absolutely right. Most people read an abstract.
And it's a big study too, though. But, you know, the thing is also, what I find interesting is Dr. Campbell was, as far as I know, I've asked him directly and he's never replied me on this. I don't think he's ever been to China.
Really?
So, I mean, I'm not going to say that's for sure, but the fact that he wouldn't even reply to me on that one, I'm wondering, has he ever been to China? Does he know what goes on over there?
Yeah.
And China's probably the worst place in the world to try to do a study, especially the way they collected the data, too. So
I was just going to say, I have this funny suspicion that the Chinese government and the Chinese medical society, they filter the data. They don't want people to know that they have the rates of this or that there. It's because they want to look like they're a model society. They're all about how things look, not how things are. Look at the way they treat their people in general and how they act. They say they treat their people.
Exactly. I mean, well, it's actually not getting much better up here either. But
no, I know.
As far as covering out the data, they do cover and manipulate the data here to make it look better. What's the number one killer in the United States at the moment, according to the government?
Oh, well, all complications due to diabetes, in my opinion.
Well, you know, they say number one killer is coronary heart disease, right?
Right.
According to the government. Right. Number one killer is doctors.
I like that.
That's statistically it is. If you have a look at statistics, number two killer, if they look at statistics, is cancer. What they do is you've got to look at cancer rates. If you survive, for most cancer, if you survive beyond 5 years, you're counted as a cancer survivor. Even if you die at 5 years, one day of cancer, you aren't part of the statistics.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
So instantly, you've just narrowed down the field there.
Yeah.
And also, you've got to remember that the technology, they're saying people are living longer with cancer. Not. They're detecting it earlier. The early detection is improving. That really, technology and early detection for cancer is really improved. They're not living longer. They're just detecting it earlier, so they know that they have cancer longer, which I don't know if that's a good thing anyway. Statistically, they actually are not living any longer.
Wow. That's amazing.
I mean, most people won't realize this information.
Before we come to the end of this interview, did you want to ask Dr. Rouse about fiber? Because there was some sort of discrepancy on the internet. Peter, what's your position on fiber? Are you not pro-fiber?
No, absolutely not.
I didn't know that.
Carmela posted the link to the View where Dr. Oz was talking about how you should eat fiber before a meal because it makes you full, therefore you'll lose weight. Did you see that?
Yeah. Actually, I think it was that's the one I posted on regarding the fiber myth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at fiber, one of the problems is there's two main problems you can look at, and this actually goes more deeper. Maybe we can do a whole show on that. But the fiber, for one, is going to drag through the system, and it actually depletes your minerals from your system because it pulls out all the nutrients in the process of pulling through the system. Okay, so it's actually an anti-nutrient in the form of depleting your mineral levels. Secondly, it actually damages the gastrointestinal tract. It damages the filii on a cellular level, so it actually causes inflammation in the intestine itself.
Really?
So having a high-fiber diet, we may need to use a little bit of fiber to get people kick-started, but I wouldn't use it as a healing process. Anybody with any kind of gastrointestinal issues, though, I would never get them on there.
I'd rather
use high dose of magnesium to get things flushing out.
I got you. So in other words, if you have GI tract issues, fiber could exacerbate it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and then if you haven't got gastrointestinal issues, the fiber can cause it.
Okay. Yeah, I've never thought about it that way. You know, the other thing I want to say about Dr. Oz or the Wizard of Oz is he went on The View and he talked about eating fiber before a meal for women.
The conjunct.
Kojak. Is it? How do you pronounce it?
It was C-O-N-J-U-C, I think.
Konjac. Konjac fiber, which is actually glucomannan fiber. It was Dr.
J-A-C.
Yeah.
But isn't it processed?
What's that?
Isn't that processed?
Oh, of course it is.
Yes, it is.
But here's my point. Dr. Cassandra Forsythe Prebanek wrote a book five, six years ago called The Perfect Body Diet for Women's Health Magazine. And the whole book revolved around one concept: increased satiety and slow gastric emptying by having 5 or 6 grams of glucomannan fiber before every meal. Oz goes on the View and acts like this is his idea. And instead of saying glucomannan, he calls it by its other name, konjac fiber, which is actually the same thing, glucomannan.
And he also said to have it in capsule form.
And that shows that he doesn't understand how it works. Glucomannan has the ability, and I learned this from Cassandra, glucomannan fiber has the ability to absorb up to 100 times its weight in water. When you put it in a capsule, it absorbs fluid so quickly that it doesn't allow the capsule to dissolve completely. And as she called it, you end up with a little fiber worm that goes down your intestinal tract, so it never truly opens up in the gut like you want it to. The only way to use glucomannan or konjac fiber is in a raw powder form. You have to take it with a teaspoon, mix it in with water, drink it down 10 minutes before your meal, because otherwise you don't get the value of it. So the Wizard of Oz gave, not only stole somebody else's advice, but anybody who follows his advice, the glucomannan won't work for them. They're not going to have increased satiety and they're not going to slow gastric emptying.
But Dr. Rouse, you wouldn't do that? You wouldn't eat the fiber?
Well, I wouldn't want to restrict how much I eat, because if you restrict how much you eat, you're restricting your nutrient intake.
Okay.
It's nothing to do. We've talked about before, you know, calories. People are eating the wrong food, not too much food. They're eating the wrong food. And that's the problem. I just actually consulted with someone who flew over here from the other side of the country, and they were on a very
Peter, you dropped out for a second. You said you just consulted with somebody who flew over to meet with you from the other side of the country, and then we lost you for a second.
Sorry, yeah. And they were on a very controlled diet, you know, calorie restricted, low fat, measuring grams of protein, fat, and everything per day. And they were actually suffering many, many health issues because of that. Straight away, I just put them on a very high protein diet with moderate fat intake. We cut back on the starches in their diet because this is what they needed at this time. Instant improvement in energy levels and just mental clarity and sleep patterns instantly overnight, like the first night. So, you know, taking in the high fiber before the meal to cut back calories and cut back the amount of food you're eating may not necessarily be what you're looking for. Because also, if you do that, you're going to restrict how much nutrients you're going to be absorbing from that meal as well.
Right. Right. Okay.
So that's a big issue. And to talk about Dr. Oz, I mean, what's he ever come up with original of his own anyway? Nothing.
He hasn't.
Ever.
Nothing.
He comes up with interesting things using balloons a lot. He's kind of like a clown. He uses balloons to entertain people. Clowns do that as well.
Well, that's it. He's just an entertainer, and that's it. So, I mean... Yeah. People do take his word as being gospel, but he's just a joke. And
all I know, Peter, is all the guys on that show last night from the movie, including Dr. Oz, They look pasty. They look weak. They look frail. And you know what? I don't buy that that's how you have to look in order to be healthy. You know? I don't buy that that's healthy. I don't buy it.
It's funny how he won't invite Dr. Connolly on his show, huh?
I doubt
that would be good.
Oh, forget it. No, I don't think Dr. Connolly would go. I don't think Dr. Connolly would go on because I think Dr. Connolly would end up in a cerebral altercation with him.
I'd probably smack him out.
Nah, Connolly's very diplomatic. I mean, Connolly, you know, when you sit down and start talking to Dr. C, if you try to present yourself on his level, he will talk to you on that level. And you get lost because the guy is, I mean, look, Dr. Connolly is a great guy. He's done a lot for sports nutrition, but I have never met anybody with the gray matter that this guy has. I mean, the guy is a walking genius. I mean, there isn't anything he doesn't understand, and he understands it to such deep levels that he could tie up anybody who proclaims to be an authority in an area with science. He just ties them up with it.
That's why I think he should go on Dr. Oz and show people what Dr. Oz is really
Oz
is all
would
about.
Never Oz would never allow someone to come on his show that would show him up. He only has people on his show who kiss his ass and act like as though, you know, he's all this and all that. And he's just I don't know. It's sad because people follow him too. And they must be confused after watching his show. Anyway, Peter, we have to take a break. I want to thank you for coming on today to give us your perception of the China study and also this new movie, Fork Over Your Money. I mean, Forks Over Knives.
I think you guys should do a show on fiber.
Okay, we could do that. We could do that.
Yeah, we could do that.
That would
absolutely
be good.
Hey, Peter, thanks a lot.
Nice talking to you, Dr. Rouse.
Okay, good to hear from you guys.
Okay.
Happy birthday, too.
Hey, thank you, thank you. I'm going to go out and drink. I'm going to drink heavily. I know that's not part of the paleo diet, but I'm doing it anyway.
Once a year, won't hurt.
There you go. All right, talk to you later.
Bye.
All right, stay tuned. Bye, we'll be back with more Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance. And it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical. But it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once, and you'll buy it again and again. veryintensepleasure.com. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, M-A-H-L-E-R.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per house.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio.
Okay, so Gordon Woodward posted on my Facebook page a link to Fox News where they had a study that revealed the best and the worst diets. Right. And this kind of goes hand in hand with what we were just talking about a few minutes ago with Dr. Rouse.
Right, right.
I guess the U.S. News and World Report assembled an independent panel of 22 experts in heart disease, diabetes, diet, and exercise, and they reviewed 20 diets.
Right.
Okay, and the categories were best diets overall, best commercial diet plans, best weight loss diets, best diabetes diet, and best heart healthy diet.
Right.
And the best weight loss diet was, what do you think it was?
Weight Watchers.
Yes.
It was, really?
It really was.
Maybe you told me that. I don't think I guessed.
I think it was. And they've picked that one because the program encourages fruit and vegetable consumption, portion control, and offers support through meetings and online support.
Right.
The second, the two diets that came in second and third were the Jenny Craig diet and the raw food diet.
Yeah, and raw food, they mean, really, they're talking about vegan between you and I.
Yes.
Anytime somebody talks about raw food, whenever somebody tells me I'm a raw food eater, I go, really? Raw meat, you know, oh, no, you know, raw vegetables. Oh, well, excuse me.
And the best, guess what diet came in last for the best weight loss diet?
I have no idea.
The paleo diet.
Oh, please.
It was at the bottom of the ranking.
Everybody who eats paleo loses weight. Come on, give me a break. Paleolithic eaters aren't eating breads and grains. They're not eating starchy carbohydrates. They're not eating processed food. I don't buy that. You know what? I'll tell you why I don't think that's the truth. Because there's no way to assess a paleo eater because there's people out there who eat paleo and don't even call it paleo.
The best heart healthy diet was the Ornish diet.
Yeah, Dean Ornish, right.
That's low in fat, high in fiber, vegetarian, and then it integrates the mind and body experience of exercise.
But see what Dr. Rouse said a minute ago, how they consider anybody who lives 5 years after being diagnosed with cancer doesn't fall into the statistics of cancer mortality.
Mm-hmm.
I think that these people who, like, say best heart healthy diet, when Dean Ornish gets these people on the diet, they see immediate results. They see their cholesterol changing and they see their arteriosclerotic markers changing. And so they say, wow, this is the best heart healthy diet. They would see those same results if they ate Paleolithic style.
Interestingly enough, the best heart in the category of best heart healthy, paleo came in last as well.
Yeah, and that's because no one who eats paleo has heart disease. And no one eats paleo has heart disease, and no one's going on the paleo diet when they have heart disease because they're going to a mainstream doctor. You think he's saying, I want you to eat paleo? He's going, no, you're going to have to become a vegetarian.
The best diabetes diet, and the interpretation for this category was the prevention or treatment of diabetes.
Right.
And that's the DASH diet.
DASH. I forget what that was, but I kind of think it's a version of the South Beach diet, but I could be wrong.
And the Mayo Clinic diet came in second. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the loser was paleo.
Of course. You know what? Everybody's crapping on the paleo diet because paleo people don't get sick. They're not in these groups.
The best diet overall was the diet, the DASH diet, tie-in for first place with the Mediterranean diet. Mm. And
the Mediterranean diet is the paleo diet.
And
duh.
Yeah. And the worst overall diet was, in that category, was paleo.
Yeah, of course. poop on the paleo diet. It's popular sometimes to do things like that. But interestingly enough, I think that the paleo diet and the Mediterranean diet are extremely close in style.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? People are confused. People don't know how to eat. That's why I say the Carl Lenore diet is the ancestral diet. Find out the way your ancestors ate.
The best commercial diet plan, of course, was Weight Watchers with Jenny Craig and Slim Fast in second and third.
Yeah, those are all good. Very, very good. Slim Fast and Jenny Craig.
Yeah. I have to admit, when I was a teenager thinking I needed to lose weight, I drank Slim Fast shakes.
Yeah, well, when you're a teenager, you know.
I didn't know.
Yeah, you don't really know what to do. I mean, you do what you think, you know. And plus, as a teenager, I'm sure drinking Slim Fast shakes was convenient because you could drink it and then run out and play with your friends.
And that's what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway,
that's a new, thanks, Gordon, for posting that. That's interesting. Don't you think the paleo diet is loser in all the categories?
I don't buy it. Just, you know what? You have to use common sense when you hear this kind of nonsense. But anyway. Okay, so let's talk about something else. You taught me something this morning I never knew.
What did I teach you?
That the FDA approved the acceptance of Monsanto's move to produce genetically modified foods, even though several of their top scientists objected to it, citing that there could be problems.
Yes.
So why does the FDA even have scientists? Well, I got an idea. Help the American public out by lowering the budget of the FDA. Just put one guy in there, one phone line, have it connected to Monsanto. Monsanto picks up the phone and says, we're going to do this. And the guy at the other end, who's now Mr. FDA, says, okay, we approve you. And they hang up. Why even employ scientists if you're not going to take their opinion? I mean, really, I know it's a rhetorical question, but maybe it's because the FDA doesn't really care what's good for people?
Or maybe Monsanto has a few people in their pockets.
Oh, pockets.
You think?
I think Monsanto has pants made out of the FDA, not just pockets. And interestingly enough, you found out that while there were like 88 studies that they used to ascertain this decision, 44 of them had known conflicts of interest.
Yes, yes. Like I said earlier, Monsanto just owns everything, including the FDA.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. The good news is, to those of you working at the FDA who are selling this country out and into a disease-ridden future, your grandchildren, your daughters, your sons, their children, their children's children will all be able to, just the way many people who moved from Germany to the United States after the World War chose to change their names to try to mask their origin because they were afraid of that the Americans would not like them. Those of you who are at the FDA today, I predict that your great grandchildren will not acknowledge their connection to your lineage. Because they're going to be embarrassed. They're going to be at a party someday, and they're going to be sitting there saying, hey, did you hear? Another baby was born with six arms and four eyes because of GMO foods that were produced 100 years ago. And that person's not going to go, oh, my great-great-great-grandfather was at the FDA back then. No, they're going to say, oh, my God, I hope they don't know that my great-great-great-grandfather was at the FDA back then approving all of this poison.
Okay, so let me read something to you.
Okay.
Back in 1992, before the first GM seed had been commercially planted, the FDA declared GM foods to be generally regarded as safe, despite a complete absence of rigorous testing. And that meant that safety testing is completely unnecessary if, say, Monsanto wants to bring a novel crop to market. In a peer-reviewed 2004 paper, which remains an extremely useful primer on regulation of GM crops, William Friess and David Schubert, I guess they're with the FDA.
Okay.
Show that, oh no, they're not. It says it shows that the FDA made the generally regarded as safe decision over the objections of several agency scientists who saw significant potential for harm.
Right. Those of you at the FDA who are selling this country down the tubes, you are the individuals that disease is created for. I just hope that it finds its way to you. Those of us out there struggling, try to find healthy food to try to eat around the crap that you're sending our way. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. But that's okay. Your great-great-grandchildren, when they're born with six arms, they'll be able to say, well, my great-great-grandfather worked at the FDA. The reason I can play the piano, scratch the back of my head, the front of my head, and also pull my pants up at the same time with my six arms is because my great-great-grandfather approved GMO crops. It's the same thing they did with tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget. Don't, you know, never forget. Never forget what the government has done. The government used to approve, not only approve tobacco, they used to say, hey, it's good for you. You should smoke a cigarette every day. They put doctors on television, on black and white TV, in a lab coat saying cigarettes relax you and are good for digestion.
They did not.
Yes, I swear to God.
I never saw those.
Yeah, yeah. Lucky Strike, I think it was, that used to run those commercials.
I guess I'm younger than you, though, so.
Yeah, you're much younger, obviously. What do you think, I'm going to go date some girl my age? For crying out loud. But anyway, yeah, it doesn't matter what the federal government says. It doesn't matter what the FDA says. You have to use your brain, navigate these lies, find a small family farm, grow your own produce. That's the only way that you're going to avoid being poisoned by the FDA and their decisions. Okay. So anyway, what else do we have to talk about, Elisa? I heard that there's a lot of food poisoning going on. What's up with that?
Yeah, over in Germany. What is up with that? Do you know?
I hope that Professor Andro stays safe and doesn't get food poisoning. Is it really in Germany?
Yes, in Germany. Is it from the bean sprouts? I know at first they were trying to say it was Spanish cucumbers, and then that idea was kind of, they decided that wasn't what it was, and then they were saying it was bean sprouts.
Yeah. I wonder if these are bean sprouts grown by small family farms. No, I doubt it. It's probably bean sprouts that are grown in big commercial factory farms, right?
Yes.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And so that's the beauty of it, distribution. They get a sick crop and they can distribute it all over the country of Germany. I mean, are people dying from this?
I think they had 22 deaths, but there were a lot of illnesses. While the government report came out last week that food poisoning is on the rise in the U.S.
Wow.
More Americans got food poisoning last year. Then it says with salmonella cases driving the increase.
Yeah. Well, again, most of the stuff that people eat comes from large producers. So if that's where it is, get with your small family farm and avoid this sort of stuff.
50 million Americans each year get sick from foodborne illnesses, including about 3,000 who die.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, life isn't for everyone. All right, so
did you just say life isn't for everyone?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a thinning of the herd, I guess. That's all. You know, those of us who understand what foods to eat and where to get our food, we're going to live. And those of you out there who choose to continue to follow the FDA as the barometer for what is healthy for you and listen to the American government to tell you what is healthy for you, you won't be around very long. That's it. Make a decision. You want to be one of the strong that survive, or you want to be one of the, you know, ones that get pulled under the bus. That's it. What else do we have to talk about? I have a voicemail that I want to play also.
The Oceana report about seafood.
Yes, that's shocking. Now this is really strong. Go ahead.
There was an Oceana bait and switch report. How seafood fraud hurts our oceans, our wallets, and our health. It concludes that most people, including many buyers of seafood for grocery chains and markets, don't really know where fish come from, nor can they recognize one species of fish from another.
God.
There was recently a press conference in D.C. Oceana laid out skinless fillets of halibut next to fluke.
Right.
Red snapper next to hake, H-A-K-E.
Yeah, I think that's what
it's called. And farmed next to wild salmon. Virtually no one was able to tell the difference. And then a taste test was done between tilapia and vermilion snapper cooked in lemon caper sauce, and everyone was fooled. They couldn't figure which fish was which.
Really?
if the meat is frozen or canned, human ability to distinguish tilapia from pollock disappears.
Pollock. Yeah.
Is it pollock? Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I've never eaten pollock, obviously.
Yeah, there you go. You know, this is even more startling. So in other words, not only do we not know where the fish is coming from anymore, but you may walk into a restaurant and order a piece of tilapia, and end up with some other fish entirely.
Right. It says here, illegal fishing operations which mislabel and smuggle, falsify paperwork, and profit off bribery and corruption evade all of the most rigorous testing, increasing the difficulty of accurate labeling. Most fish is processed at sea, and species are obscured long before the boat even hits a dock.
Wow. So it's the ship's captain who makes the decision, probably because one fish is a cheaper crop than the other, so they get more money for it. I bet that's what it is. Okay, so now we don't even know what kind of fish we're buying. Now we're going to have to find fishermen to buy our fish.
Well, but remember the show that we did on tilapia and how it's being grown, like, in Taiwan?
Yeah, in cesspools.
In cesspools of sewage water in China. And so that's probably what we're eating.
Yeah, and you think you're eating something else.
Mm-hmm.
We have a voicemail from Sean, and I can never pronounce his last name. Knernfell, I believe it is. I'm sorry, Sean. I know you for so long, and I still can't pronounce your last name. But I want to go ahead and play his voicemail real quick that he left on the Superhuman Radio hotline. If you want to leave us a voicemail, 206-222-2218. Leave it there, and we'll play it on the air. Here we go. Oh, something wrong with that voicemail. I apologize. Well, anyway, something went wrong with it. It must have been corrupted. The bottom line is Sean said that he feels like he can't ever catch up to Superhuman Radio because the new two-hour format, it takes him weeks to get caught up, and he's asking me to go back to a one-hour show.
Do you want to go back to a one-hour
show? No, I love doing a two-hour show. It gives, you know, I felt that the one-hour show was too restrictive. Look, today's show is supposed to be 1 hour, and we're at an hour and 16 minutes already.
I know. It just goes by so fast.
Yeah, 1 hour is too restrictive. I just can't cover all the bases. And so I've always thought that the two-hour show was the answer for me, and I guess people like it. Our audience is growing every single month. We had like 335,000 downloads last month.
That's a nice birthday present.
Yeah, you got that right. And so I got to believe that people like the show. And, you know, I'm not frustrated if people look at the two topics covered and they go, well, only this one interests me, and just listen to that 1 hour. But I don't want to go back to a 1 hour show. It's too restrictive. We have a FedEx guy. We have the FedEx guy at the door here. Lisa, could you sign for the FedEx? Because we're on the air, and we're getting a package delivered at the same time. So that's what happens in business. Anyway, again, I like the two-hour show. If those of you don't like the two-hour show, I'd like to know about that. And also, we're talking about doing some sort of a get-together, possibly. I don't know, on the East Coast or the West Coast. I need you because I want to talk to you about this. We're talking about doing a get-together possibly on the East Coast or West Coast, kind of like a Superhuman Radio gathering of listeners. And maybe we'll have some guest speakers and have dinner. Like, I was envisioning, like, either New York or Los Angeles.
Or both.
Or East Coast and a West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, people come in on a Friday night. We have a cocktail hour. Saturday we spend at different types of lectures with maybe like Dr. Peter Rouse and people like that. Saturday evening we have dinner. Dr. Andro. We'll bring Andro in from Germany. Saturday night we have dinner. And Sunday people all go back home again.
That would be great.
I would like to do
Mike
that.
Mike Mahler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So if this interests you, I'd like to hear from you on air at superhumanradio.com. We have to decide where to hold them. I'm not opposed to having a couple of them. Where to hold them on the East Coast and West Coast, where people are closest to and feel that they can get to. And maybe even one in Chicago, you know, in the Midwest.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So if you're interested in attending a Superhuman Radio gathering, a gathering of superhumans, that's what we'll have to call it. The gathering of superhumans. One on the East Coast, one on the West Coast. and one in the Midwest somewhere. Email me at onair@superhumanradio.com. Tell me if you are interested and, you know, your general vicinity, where you would be willing to go to.
I just want to give Richard Russell a shout out.
Oh, yeah.
He posted on our wall that he's lost 7 pounds since last week's show.
Wow.
So he's actually started focusing again, I guess because he had talked that he really hadn't been focusing. And his goal for the next 30 days is to shed weight and fat and reset everything for a strong foundation.
That's great. And I guess we recognize him as a superhuman on the show. And so I guess maybe doing that show kind of inspired him to double down.
Yes, that's,
yeah, that's
awesome.
Great. That's great.
Good job, Richard.
Congratulations. Okay, we have anything else to talk about?
No, it's your birthday. What are you going to do for your birthday this weekend?
I'm having a yard sale. That's actually what I'm doing for my birthday.
Is that it?
Yeah. And no, I'm maybe going out to dinner with this really, really beautiful girl.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I hope you have a good time.
I don't know. Am I? Am I going to have a good time? I don't know. All right. Well, listen, thank you for listening to Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio. By the way, next week I'm going to be out of town for a few days. Unfortunately, my mom is in a nursing home, and I have to go to Phoenix to gather up her belongings and move them into storage. So we will be doing some best of early next week, some shows you haven't heard before. So look forward to those.
And Dr. Andrew's birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, yes, that's right. Professor Dr. Andrew's birthday is tomorrow, so please be sure to go to his Facebook page and wish him a happy birthday. From
happy
all of us.
Happy birthday, Dr. Andrew.
Do like Marilyn Monroe. Sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you. Mr. President.
Mr. President.
There you go. All right. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
Been on superhumanradio.com lately? Lots of free supplements, great information, and older episodes of Superhuman Radio are all available. Go to superhumanradio.com today.